Our scripture for today continues the story of the patriarchs. We've heard stories of Abraham and then Isaac, and the last couple of weeks, Jacob, who was given the name Israel. Our story continues with a story about his family and Joseph. Genesis chapter 37, beginning with verse 1. Glory to you, O Lord. So Jacob settled in the land where his father had lived as an alien, the land of Canaan. So this is the story of Jacob's family. So Joseph, being 17, helped pasture the flocks of his father with his brothers. He helped the sons of Zilpah and Bilpah, his father's wives. But he sent a bad report of his brothers to his father. Now, Israel, Jacob, loved Joseph more than any other of his children, for he was his son in his old age. So Israel made him a long robe, a coat of many colors, and gave it to him. Now, when his brothers, Joseph's brothers, saw that Israel loved Joseph more than them, they began to hate their brother, and they could not speak peaceably with him. One day, Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him even more. He said to them, "Listen, I've dreamed a dream. There we were in the field, all gathering our sheaves. And my sheaf suddenly rose up and stood. And your sheaves gathered around it and bowed down and praised it." Yeah, the brothers said, "So you are going to reign over us? You are going to have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more because of his dreams and words. Then Joseph had another dream. He said to his brothers, "I saw the sun and the moon and 11 stars, and they all bowed down and worshiped me." Now, when he told this dream to his father and his brothers, his father rebuked him, saying, "What is this dream that you have dreamed? Are we to come, I and your mother and your brothers, and bow down and worship before you?" So Joseph's brothers were jealous of him. And Israel kept this matter in his mind. Now, his brothers took the flocks down to Shechem to pasture. And so Israel one day called Joseph and said, "Are not my sons down with the flocks near Shechem? Come, I'll send you to them." And Joseph said, "Here I am." So Israel said, "Yeah, go down and check and see how if the brothers are doing well and if the flocks are doing well, and send me a report." So Joseph was sent out of the land of Hebron. When he came to Shechem, a man saw him wandering around in the field and said to him, "What are you seeking?" Joseph said, "I'm seeking my brothers. Please tell me, do you know where they are pasturing the flock?" The man said, "They've gone away, but I heard them say they are going to Dothan." Then Joseph went seeking his brothers at Dothan and found them. But while he was still far away, his brothers saw him coming. And before he came there, they conspired to kill him. They said to one another, "Here comes the dreamer. Let us kill him and throw his body in the pit. And we'll say that a wild animal devoured him. And then we'll see what will become of his dreams." Now Reuben, when he heard it, delivered Joseph from their hand by saying, "Let us not kill him." He said to his brothers, "Let us not shed blood. Let's take him and throw him in a pit but let us not lay a hand on him. Now he said this so that he might deliver Joseph from their hand and restore him to his father. When Joseph arrived to his brothers, they stripped him of his coat, the coat of many colors that he wore. And they took him and they threw him in a pit. And the pit was empty and there was no water in it. Then they sat down to eat. And as they were eating, they saw a caravan of Ishmaelites from Goshen. And Judah said, in this caravan, there were camels that were carrying gum and balm and resin on their way to carry it down to Egypt. So Judah said, come. Or what profit is it for us to kill our brother and conceal his blood? Let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let us not lay a hand on him, and that for he is our brother and our own blood. And the brothers all agreed. So they took, when they saw some Midianite traders coming by, they raised Joseph out of the pit, lifting him out, and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. The Ishmaelites took Joseph to Egypt. This is the story, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I hate when I fumble on words like that. Word for children. The children are invited to head out to the comfy chairs. And the story is there's a dragon in my sleeping bag. I'm not familiar with that one, but if it sounds right to you, it must be correct. So I'll be out there and just right outside there. Going back that way, Rebecca. There you go. Excellent. Have you ever noticed how much time we spend comparing ourselves to others? Are you a person that compares yourself to others? I know I do that a lot. Comparing how old somebody is to how young I am. But we compare houses, we compare cars, we compare dress, what we wear, our clothes. We notice if somebody has more hair than us or less hair, or what color it is, what color eyes, whether they're big or small, tall or short. We compare bank accounts, what salaries. We're constantly comparing and noticing the differences in what people have and how they look and how they talk, whether they got a Texas drawl or not. Yeah, we do this comparison thing. And a lot of my comparison has actually worked for me pretty well, because growing up in school, I was constantly comparing myself to the other students. And my goal was to win in that comparison. And so it had me work hard to make good grades. It had me run faster whenever there was a race. It had me trying to win whenever I was playing a game. It had me develop a lot of skills and abilities. And so it really provided something. But there's also a side of comparison that is not so healthy, not so life-giving, because there were some comparisons where I never won. And so it made me feel like I was always less than. And when I really got that I could never be a Major League Baseball player like some other people could, or I would never be as fast, even though I was faster than a lot of folks, I could never be as fast as other people in the city. It was kind of like, part of me kind of went, I'm just not good enough. I'm not fast enough. And also, I'm not smart enough. I'm not tall enough. It goes on and on. And it's hard, in our culture, it's hard to escape comparisons. If you think about a lot of marketing, it's constantly having you notice that your life would be better if you bought this, or if you work for this company, or if you got this education. The whole impetus, it's kind of the grass is greener kind of thing, which is a comparison, right? Now, granted, the grass is greener here in Canada than it is down in Texas right now. And so, like I said, there are some comparisons that work. But boy, when it starts hitting home and starts having one say things about themselves, then it can have very detrimental effects. And when you start, or when one starts comparing how much they're loved by somebody compared to another, it can get all kinds of sideways. I mean, somebody that has a girlfriend who cheats on them or a boyfriend that cheats on them, all of a sudden, that comparison of whether they love them more, people will kill over that. How interesting how something where we talk about love can so quickly become hate. Well, in our story, we got a mess of comparisons going on. We have the sons of Jacob, or also known as Israel. And there's 12 of these sons. And it'd be bad enough being in a family of 12 sons with one mother, but there were four mothers in this mix. You had Leah and Rachel and Zilpah and Milpah. It's like, holy smokes. And so there's a constant wondering about whether how much father loves me, and am I getting my share and getting the attention that I'm due. And it seems like Israel makes it pretty easy for them to answer that question, because he clearly establishes a favorite. His favorite is Joseph. He's the one that gets the fancy coat. Oh, I didn't know you were going to get the fancy coat. A coat of many colors. You can imagine all the rest of them are wearing kind of a dull beige or dull brown. And Joseph is walking around this symbol of privilege, this symbol that his father loves him more than all the other children. Makes it easy for them to go, we're not so thrilled about that. And so these comparisons in the love, all of a sudden, it tells us that they hated him. They found it hard to speak peaceably to him. And in addition to being a favorite, he did stuff like snitch on him, bring reports back telling him that they're not taking care of the flock the way that they should. And then into that mix, he has these dreams. That was like the final straw. It's just like, okay, not only do you kind of walk around and brag about how Father loves you more than the rest of us, but now you're saying you're just outright better than us and we're going to worship you. They couldn't take it. Comparisons like that they really are deadly eventually. Because in all the comparison, eventually it comes home to roost, and there's something inside that says, I'm not good enough. And boy, when we're hurting like that, when we feel that there is something wrong with us, and we've tried to improve and get better, at some point you just lash out and try to bring other people down so you can be with yourself. This dysfunctional family, not that different from any dysfunctional families. Thank God we don't have lots of brothers that are going around planning on killing their brothers. But in a world where so much comparison, it's easy for it to turn into hate. And boy, and when we can start comparing religions and comparing skin color and cultures and things like that, then rather quickly we start understanding why there are wars and there's conflict. What hope is there? The only answer to comparisons, the only way to get out of the trap of trying to beat others, of being okay with yourself, is to be okay with yourself. To claim that God's value and God's love for you is stronger than anything else in the world. We have that assurance through Jesus, that unconditional love that doesn't matter whether people, somebody else loves us back. It doesn't even matter if we love God back. God's love is there. And on that foundation, then we can notice all the differences that we all have. What we look like, what we wear, what we drive, where we live, how we talk, how many degrees we have or how many degrees we don't have. And we begin to relate to the gifts and blessings that God has bestowed on people instead of it all being about competition. Now, when I was growing up, I always felt like God wanted to do something with me. But I was always shut down because my vision of what it felt like to, what it looked like to serve God was to go overseas. The people that were really faithful were missionaries over in Africa or over in Asia. And I was scared to death to go to Africa and Asia. And so a lot of my life, I kept thinking, you know, I'm not good enough. I'm not faithful enough. If that's what it's going to take, then I'm not sure I can do this. Joseph was given these dreams and given that assurance that God was with him. And it sounded pretty grandiose. And it was hard for him. I can imagine, just imagine being thrown into a pit, being sold as a slave, and having those dreams be part of your awareness. That you believed God was calling you to. The assurance that God was up to something, and yet your present circumstances kept saying, there's no way that's going to happen. You're going to be lucky to survive this ordeal. But those dreams were a gift to him. They created all kinds of problems when he started sharing them with his brothers. But on the other hand, those were the gift to him that allowed him to continue to aspire and to continue to be willing to, no matter what his circumstances, trust that God was up to something. Trust that God was going to do something through him. And you probably know the rest of the story, but I'm going to be telling the rest of the story next week. So you'll hear, if you want to hear the rest of the Joseph story, you got to come back. But as for us, we find ourselves in our current circumstances. And there are times when we wonder, are we doing what God is calling us to do? I'm not a missionary to Africa or Asia. I did end up coming to a foreign country named Canada. But I never felt like God was going to do something really huge with me. So I may not do great things that can move heaven and earth above, but I can do small things with great love. I may never do great things that can move heaven and earth above, but I can do small things with great love. I may never do great things that can move earth and heaven above, but I can do small things and do them with great love, and do them with great love. I may never do great things that can move earth and heaven above, but I can do small things and do them with great love, and do them with great love. Won't you join me? I may never do great things. I may never do great things that can move earth and heaven above, that can move earth and heaven above, but I can do small things, but I can do small small things, but do them with great love. And do them with great love. And do them with great love. And do them with great love. I may never do great things. I may never do great things that can move earth and heaven above. That can move earth and heaven above. But I can do small, small things. But I can do small, small things. And with great love. And do them with great love. And do them with great love. And do them with great love. I may never do great things. But earth and heaven above. I can never do great things that can move earth and heaven above. But I can do small, small things and do them with great love. But I can do small, small things and do them with great love. And do them with great love.
Let's try the whole thing.
I may never do great things that can move earth and heaven above. But I can do small, small things and do them with great love. And do them with great love. I may never do great things that can move earth and heaven above. But I can do small, small things and do them with great love. And do them with great love.
No matter our circumstances, no matter when we get caught in that comparison game, if we will allow ourselves to refocus and think about what it looks like to love, then God can use us no matter where we are. If somehow Joseph's brothers, instead of acting out of jealousy and hate and envy and that deadly comparison game, if they could somehow have gotten in touch with the love that they have for their brother, there's no way they would have done the things to him. So for us, every opportunity we have, it doesn't have to be saving the world, it doesn't have to be fixing global problems, but when we're given the opportunity to do that little small thing, helping someone who is in need of help, forgiving someone who has done us wrong, giving somebody a good encouraging word when the comparison process has driven them into the dirt, then we are doing things out of love. And God uses that to bring about God's kingdom. Amen.